Welcome to the Daily Hi-Fi Podcast. What is going on, everybody? What are we in the right thing here?
How are we not?
Did you make this to the right thing? Did it go to the right?
Are we on the right thing?
Yeah, we're on the right thing. It says it's not live streaming. Oh, here we go. Oh, okay. Welcome, everybody. We are doing an advanced copy. This is an advanced release.
Does this guy look like he makes mistakes ever?
Who? Me? You?
Yeah.
I mean, we all make
mistakes. Never make mistakes, right?
Oh, yeah. No. Joe, don't make no mistakes. Mariano is what we call
it. All the dates to everything. I know that. I know.
What is up? What is up? Poncho's in the house. Netherlands. What's up, Christian? Marv, Carlos, Dugan, Mr. Everyday. Hello, Carlos. Yeah. Tim Perry, Wendell. What's going on? Yeah. This time is good for us East Coasters. Spillage Village.
Hey, you know, we might have to move stuff around. We don't know. So the reason why it's early today is because my youngest daughter has kind of like a tryout for a soccer club for anybody outside of the U.S., football. So,
you know, where they go, goal!
Yeah, right? She's really like oddly good at it. Like she's really
kicks ball. I mean,
for some reason, like she just knows how to play. Like I think she has some talent and she likes to do it. So that combination usually is a good combination for excelling at something.
Yes, yes.
And so we asked her coach, who's kind of like a celebrity coach. Like he has people who are, you know, professional players. People are part of. Anyway. We asked him like, hey, should we just let her do like, you know, the kind of the community one, the AYSO, or should we get her part of the club? He's like, get her into a club. They'll take her. So anyway, okay. I don't know how much it's going to cost. So you guys be, you know, I might have to forgo some purchases. I don't know how much this stuff costs. You got to try out. Like, imagine, you know, you got to try out and then they have to let you in. So that's why we're early today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, or should I just tell those? Should I tell the club like, you know what? I know we just joined, but you guys got to move your schedule to a different time. We got a podcast at 4.
I don't know if that works.
No.
I don't know if that works. Yeah.
So anyway, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
That's why we're early.
I mean, today. You know, Ryder was on the snowboard team, so he had to like try out essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But the coach was like. So he has problems kind of traversing, like where you have to just stay on one edge just to traverse the mountain because they go all over the mountain. And I was like, well, he's only had 3 days on the snow. And he's like, 3 days? Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll take him. And like,
3 days. Dude,
yeah. They're like, oh, we can easily teach that. He's like, he's just fearless then. He's just like, he was six. And then when he was eight, he was doing five. He's pulling 540 in a 20-foot half pipe in a competition.
Oh, dang.
Like, what the hell? Yeah. You know, I mean, he wasn't getting, like, far out of the lip, but, you know, it's one of those things, man. Like, you never know. So I saw some videos of Remy, like, you know, she's moving left, right, and I'm like, oh, is she going to score? Bah! You know, and all of a sudden, I'm like, damn, okay.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, I let her, you know, I practice. And I say, you know, try to score on me or whatever. And then I'll like really try, like not like 100%, but like I'll try. And like after a while, I'm pretty tired, like chasing after it. And I'm like, are you tired? She's like, no. I'm like, oh, I see. It's either I'm super out of shape or kids, you know. Kids can run for a long time. They weigh practically nothing.
Yeah, and they got six packs. She already got her six pack.
Oh yeah, she does. She got a six pack. So that's what's up. That's the audio show for today.
Talking about soccer.
We have some good questions though already.
Are some questions
and
already?
As a quick reminder, if you have a question that you definitely want answered, super chats are appreciated because it helps support the channel and it pays for our channel cost.
You can't do this, dude. You can't do this. I hate it when you do this. Like,
oh, really? Oh, you don't like that?
You have not given me enough free information
to
ask for something.
We're not.
That's not like I got that comment today on my speaker on a stick V2 video. I put an ad for the disc. By the way, buy the disc if you haven't already. I put an ad for the disc at the end of the video, as to not bother people in the beginning. And they're like, I used to think your videos were informative. Now it's just buy the disc. I'm like, really? Did I just give out like 4 or 5 free Atmos mixes?
Yeah. I think we're on like 170-ish. I don't know. Whatever number this is. 178. On number 178 of the podcast. So I feel like we've added some value.
I mean, I've made
value in 178 episodes, man. That's pretty bad.
I've made almost 800 videos. And I'm not talking about repurposed vertical that just pad the numbers. I'm talking about like almost 800 edited videos. And man, maybe I'm doing the wrong thing. Maybe I should make a video about an e-bike, about some water, you know, and gets, by the way, those are sponsorships that are coming through.
There you go.
Got an e-bike on the way. I got an Evian water sponsorship thing happening. So I'll talk about that stuff.
You'd be like, this water tastes so good.
I don't know, man. All the
sponsored stuff is like,
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to pick my nose with this.
Mm.
But I think it's funny. I just think it's funny. Somebody came to the rescue, but the comment's not showing up. Anyway. Here's something. Let me make a banner for this. So if you're going to go to Xpona, I'll be at Xpona. Go to IG and follow me at The Real Technodad, because it's a pretty big show. There's a lot of stuff going on. I'm going to be, the show starts at 10 Friday, Saturday, Sunday, this coming week. So I'm leaving Thursday. I'm not sure when Aaron is getting there. I think he told me, but show starts at 10. So I'm going to be hanging out at 9 o'clock in the lobby area. There's like 5 or 6 different areas in the lobby that are like cool to like chill at. So I will, on my Instagram story, say where I'm at those days, Friday and Saturday. I might do it Sunday. I don't know. But just follow the Instagram so you can keep up to date on where I'm going to be, so we can do a little meet and greet, and so that we can, you know, chit chat about stuff, take some pictures or whatever. Because I remember from Audio Advice Live, people are just trying to catch me at the show, and Audio Advice is small and Xpona is pretty big, right? Like there's a lot of like rooms and all kinds of other stuff to do, and like, you know, classes or something. Some people are speaking about speakers. Who's your speaker today? Oh, it's the SVS. No, who's the speaker, damn it? Okay, not funny. Anyway, please don't mention Tekton at Xpona. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of people talking about it. On all kinds of other... I vow to never... Oh, okay, my bad.
Yeah. That's just me.
Maybe we should call him Tactless.
You know what? So I have an opinion on this, right?
Okay. All
right. So reviewers are supposed to review stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
And ideally, you want to do the best. You want, as a reviewer, you want to do the best job possible about conveying, you know, what this thing is, right? The best way to do that, in my opinion, is through objective measurements, right? Sure. The problem with objective measurements is sometimes it depends on how you measure it, right? And the things that you measure. So it's possible to miss things, you know, things like that. But, and you know, that's fair. But here's what I don't like. And I'm speaking generally, right? Just generally. You know.
Does the banner apply or should I take it off?
No, you can do what you want. But all I'm saying is if reviewers have to be worried, you know, about litigation or any kind of like weird something, then that's not what that's going to do. Is it gets people to not want to do a review at all, right? Or it attracts these reviewers who only say good things, no matter what, right? Because if you only say good things, well, you know, companies are happy with that, right? It's in your critical, but who's that a service to, right? I think if you're critical of a product and it's legitimate and you've measured things, that's good feedback for the consumer, but also for the company.
Right. Make a better product, you know? Right?
I take all kinds of feedback on the Magic Beans True Target app, right? And sometimes, you know, it's natural to kind of be a little bit resistant to it and maybe to confirm, like, are you sure this is? But after a while, if you keep listening and multiple people say, hey, this is an issue, then you should probably listen, right? And so I've made so many changes to the app, and I think it led to a better app. I think we can say the same thing for our toolkit, right?
Yeah, 100%. You know,
at first, when Reverend Slim recommended that speaker pairs, I was like, are you sure we need that? We kind of have this other thing. It was like an hour or more on the phone. Are you sure? He's like, yeah, I'm telling you it's useful. All right. Let me tell Techno Dad and see. And it took you a while to have to implement that part, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the toolkit. But yeah. Is it not like one of the most popular sections? Like,
oh, everybody loves it. Everybody loves it. I know Gary, you mentioned the stream. Even in that stream, he was talking about how he did the pairs and made sure they are all time aligned to each other. And I was like, oh yeah. And we took it a step further on our disc. We did the pairs and then we did all the adjacent speakers. And when they heard that, they're like, whoa. I said, yeah, that was a step further of time aligning all the adjacent speakers. So now you have a system that's really, really tightened up.
Yeah. So that my point just being, sometimes you just have to listen. I'm glad I talked you into it. It was something I wanted for a long time for my own uses. Yeah.
See?
A lot of the stuff is really something that you make for yourself, right? Like mm-hmm. I find I need this thing, I need this tool. And so anyway, back to the main topic, which is it's good to listen. It's good to listen. You don't have to be so defensive. You know, people who are defensive like that and go on an immediate offense. I don't know. I'm a little skeptical of those types of people.
Yeah.
I don't get along with those types of people. I'm never going to review. Like if I feel like that is the vibe that I'm getting from this company, I'm not going to review that just for the fact, you know, here's the worst thing for a company, right? The worst thing would be if nobody wants to review their product.
Right? Yeah.
If everybody's like, I'm not touching that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because let's be real. Reviewers or whoever, all of us, we're part of their marketing strategy.
Essentially, yes.
Right? I don't know that they really want like a review. They want us to promote it because, you know, we have an audience and they don't have an audience or they don't have as big of a reach. And so they rely on us to promote their stuff. But it's not like, yeah, if you pay me to promote your stuff and it's like a deal, hey, you're like a marketing deal. Like I'm going to pay you and you're going to advertise my thing. That's separate, right? That's a different thing. And you have to tell people, hey, this is an advertisement for this. But that's not the case, right? Mm-mm. If somebody sends, if you get a product to review, not even sent by a manufacturer, and you review it, you owe that company nothing.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. 100%. And, you know, some people, I mean, I've said this before, I'll say it again, Chris Walker,
mm-hmm.
Chana, I want to send you this $15,000 pair of speakers. I'm like, Chris, I don't think any of my audience is interested in that. He says, I just want a video on YouTube about them. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, they sound like shit. I'm going to say they sound like shit. He's like, oh, I know. So he's going to send them anyway because he's confident in the product.
That's right.
And he knows that I'm going to say exactly, and he doesn't care. He doesn't care. He knows that it's going to be good. He knows I'm probably going to be like, holy shit, this is the best thing I've heard in a while. Because that's if right. I'm excited about it, and if it's a good product, it's going to be a good review. If I'm going to be like, yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, $15,000 pair of speakers, there's a lot of options, you know, mm-hmm. I'd be like, yeah, there's better options, you know, but mm-hmm. I haven't gotten them in yet, coincidentally. SVS did send say they're already shipping out their evolution.
Yeah, that's
Titan Towers, you know?
SVS, ELEC. That's what I like about some of these companies is that they're just like they want an honest review, right? Yeah. If I get something wrong, then they'll say, hey, you kind of got this thing wrong. And I can just make an update in the notes. Or if it's a big problem, you know, a big mistake, then I'll I'll make an update video, say, hey, look, this is the stuff that I did incorrectly. And that's it. No big deal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now they get two videos. Congratulations. You win.
They got two opportunities to get people to know about their products. I think one of the things is that everybody knows from my channel and here, I don't hold back, you know, so I'm never not going to tell you exactly what I think.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, if you don't see a video on my channel about the product, that means it was so garbage that like I got, and you knew I had it. Like it was so garbage that it wasn't even worth the time to like shoot and edit it. So,
yeah. So just be careful. You know, I would say as the consumer, I would, try to read between the lines and try to see, you know, when I buy a product, I want to know like what the company's about.
You go down the rabbit hole,
I'm supporting somebody who that I feel good about supporting, you know,
do your due diligence, right?
Sometimes the products are too good and I don't like the company, but I'm like, dang, this Apple product's too good. I don't like, it's just too good. So I'm guilty, but, you know, I would say just look and see if you like the values, you like what this company's about. For me, I don't like narcissistic behavior. Do you know what I mean? Like narcissist is like somebody who thinks like they have visions of grandeur. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's that. And they use that, you know, they use people. And then there's also the other type where like everybody's against them. You know, the world is against them.
Right.
Let me break it to people. I know this is not a psychology channel, right?
But I'm just are you sure? Are you sure we might be?
Maybe it is, right? Maybe
we might be like that. The bartender. We might be like the people need to hear the you know what it's just that we're the friendly ear, you know.
So 4 p.m. is audio stuff. 2 p.m. Pacific.
It's the support group. The support group.
Well, I'm just saying, look out for people who always think that the world is against them, because that's another way of thinking that you're extra special, right? Guess what? Like, no, the world's not more against you. You're not that special that everybody's against you specifically. I'm not talking about you guys here. I'm just saying in general. Nobody's that special, right? Like, bad things happen to everybody. Good things happen to a lot of people too, you know? Nobody's especially, you know, that special that everybody's against this guy specifically. So keep that in mind, you know. Anyway, let's talk about something else. I see a Weem comment here. When I see products showing up on multiple channels with a few weeks of each other, Weem, cough. I know it's marketing pushed by that company. Okay, so I have the Weem, right? I have two of their products and I like the Weem app a lot. All they did was send me the products. Like there's no exchange of money, you know. I'll probably be able to keep the products. So take that for what it's worth. But I'm telling you guys right now, I have more than enough apps. I don't need any more. I was so impressed by how well it worked. I don't know if you saw my video, but my neighbor got one. He bought a Weem app. I hooked him up with some speakers.
Yeah.
Super happy.
Video. I was like, I know him. Is this next
door? You know him.
That's great. Yeah.
So he bought one. I wouldn't recommend something I didn't really believe in to my neighbor, right? I could have just given him an amplifier. I have them all lying around.
A whole bunch. You got a whole bunch.
But it's for me, with the app is special because of all the streaming stuff that it does, how well it works. It has HDMI. It has a decent amount of power. So I'm looking at it not so much as like from a technical standpoint of like, how good is this app compared to the Parasound? Like, come on.
That's not where we're gonna answer.
That's not what we're looking at. I'm thinking about how loud does it play? Is it play loud enough to be satisfactory for most people? And what kind of DSP are you able to do? What kind of equalization? It has a sub out. It's like more functionality based, right?
Right, right.
It does a lot of stuff. It does it well. And it's at a price point that's affordable. So that's exciting, right? So he says, yes, but I've seen it on at least 7 channels, saturation push, no knock on the reviewer. It's just the appearance on the company. So,
well, you know, sometimes in these marketing, or these marketing people contact you and like I got one for that remote control, the sofa baton.
Mm-hmm.
The sofa baton, and like it got here, and like 2 days later, she's like, "When can I expect a video?" I'm like, "You can't. You're not. What the fuck are you talking about? So you know what that is? You know what that means? I'm not opening that bitch up for another 4 weeks, right? Are you out of your mind?
Are you out of your mind? This is a remote, man. What are you talking about? This is a remote,
and I'm trying to like. I have 3 business trips this month. You think I'm going to prioritize your product because what?
No, we'll keep it real. Hey, we keep it real here, right? Dude. That's why I think that you guys like us. You understand. We're really just telling you, we're just
to bring it back to Weem. Sorry, Joe.
Go.
If they send me one, I would still be working on the review. I like mine would be out like a month later because there's just so many other things happening that like I'm not gonna give priority to somebody because they asked me. If they said, hey, here's $500, can you get it done like in the next few weeks, I'm like, well, I'll make it 1,000 and maybe I'll push it to the top of the priority list. That's but at it. The end of the day, like it's just a fucking remote, and the first one I had from them was garbage.
More for you to want to do that, huh?
Exactly. So it's one of those things where, as far as what you're saying, True Voice, is that I bet you anything, they just sent them all at the same time. And so all the reviewers are like, oh, this is the new hot thing. So they all kind of just boom, 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 boom.
A lot of reviewers are racing to be first, right? You know, those people want to be first in the comments.
I'm not.
There's the reviewers who want to be the first because the first usually gets the most views.
Yes, okay? Typically, yeah. Typically.
So it's not any type of, it shouldn't reflect so bad on the company. To me, that's, you know, what would you rather, if you're the company, do you want people to review your product all at different times, right? Like spread out over months or a year? Or do you want people to like make a big splash? Because that's kind of the DJI approach, right?
That's DJI. That's what DJI does.
Yeah. DJI. Who else does that?
Or they Apple, Samsung, Xiaomi, if you watch cell phones, any kind of cell phone influencer you watch, dude, it's like a whole bunch. New cell phone comes out that day, there's like 50 videos.
So I would say you can blame that more on, not, I don't know if you're blaming, but you can say you can attribute that more to reviewers wanting to be first.
Yeah,
right.
I don't care to be first.
And sometimes, honestly, sometimes the companies can organize that and say, hey, this is the, we're gonna send it all out to you early, this is the embargo date. Right. You can't say anything about this until this date.
So then everybody gets a video ready for that. I did that with these weirdo looking PlayStation headphones.
Yeah.
I was even like 12 hours late to that party. 12 hours. So 12 hours late to the
party. They tell you 6 a.m. on this date, you're allowed to release your review. So the review's done. Right. It's scheduled. And then 6 a.m. comes along. It's live.
Done.
So that's just to give you a heads up. That's how it all works. And I do like this feed, you see, I like the feedback. It doesn't all have to be positive. Sometimes it can just be a real question and we can have a conversation. Okay. What else we got? Let's go answer some more questions.
All right, like, let's go with the start. Speaker wires, 14 or 16 gauge, there's a difference in sound. Typically, it's more about how long the cable run is as far as like which gauge you should get. So the longer the cable run, the bigger, right? The bigger the gauge you should get. So I have 14 on all of them here. I had like nine gauge on my front stage because they were the God, they're still in Mammoth. Am I ever gonna see those cables again, Joe?
I don't know. There are a few websites. I don't know that this is the best one here.
Yeah, put it up. I made a video about this years ago. Maybe I should redo it. I don't know. Soon tight. No. What's up, dude? What happened? What, oh, whoa. Do I need to start wearing a mask around you, bro? Did you get the Rona? What happened? Man.
Let's go.
Is it that yearly cold you get?
Okay, there's the link right there. I don't know that this is the best site. There's a bunch of them, but let's see. Chrome tab. Okay. So something like this, where you just type in Imperial for dumb Americans. Okay.
Oh, it's an actual like calculator type thing?
Yeah, you tell, because it depends on a few things, like how many watts, right? The resistance.
Oh, this is way more complicated than, okay, all right, yeah.
Amplifier, okay. And then, yeah, so you type in all the values and it'll tell you, you know, what you can expect. I don't know that this is the best site, but you can find other sites like this where it recommends a game based on the distance and the power, so.
Okay.
So it's those things. Mainly it's how long is the run?
Yeah.
And how
not seeing links. Questions. The link is in the chat box there. Let's see.
I don't know that this is the best calculator, but you can look online and there are a bunch of calculators.
Yeah, so lower AWG for longer runs. So like 40, 50 foot run, you're gonna want to do like 14 gauge. 12 is when you start getting into like it's hard to like turn them, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, it's a little. So I used to do. What's up?
I just go by eye. I look at the cable. I'm like, all right, 30 feet. I don't think so.
Nah, man.
You know what I'm talking about? Like. Sometimes those cables just look like too thin.
Yes.
But then you don't have to go crazy either. You don't have to, it doesn't have to look like car battery terminals going all the way to your height speaker. Come on, like how much power is really going to that thing?
Yeah.
You know, I think it'd make a lot of sense to go a little bit overboard, maybe on your left and right and center speaker, just because they're probably, you know, you're probably going to throw a lot of power at them. So open up your sub and see how thick that wire is. I wonder how thick the wire is in a sub. It's a short run.
This is the same questions we had that first, like, sit down, the blurry Joe sit down at your shop.
Oh, yeah.
You remember this? What are the cables on the inside of the speaker? Are they giant gauge? Are they just lamp cord?
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I wouldn't worry too much about it, right? The good thing is there's not a huge price difference, you know, going from a smaller gauge to a larger gauge wire. The thing that you mentioned, though, is something to consider is if you have to hide this wire, it gets more difficult the thicker the cable is.
Yeah. Oh, and like
it doesn't bend. Like they don't.
Yeah, it doesn't bend.
Yeah.
Or you like with yours in your living room, you had to go like you had to jimmy rig some stuff so it actually gets to your rear heights. And so you had to go with something super thin and at some locations, right?
Yeah. I think they're like either 16 or 14, something like that. But they're small speakers. They're running off the AVR amplifier. And one thing to remember is, they also have cables that have four wires inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
So you only have to run one wire to the rear. And then from there, you can get some kind of splitter, you know, kind of attach it so you can split it off from there. I know a lot of audiophiles are like, oh, but it's not a big deal.
You're not talking their language, Joe.
Yeah.
That's why. Splitters? What do you
think? Yeah. Two-channel audiophile guys aren't running cables to their rear height speakers probably. So
it's nothing critical, but in my little man cave 544, I end up repacking 12 gauge wire with 18 gauge for about 30 foot runs. Didn't almost notice much difference, but it was for Atmos stuff. So yeah. Are you going to notice a difference? Probably not.
But if it makes you feel better,
spend $1,000 on your cable.
Go crazy.
I mean, I really love those Kimber cables, man. And because they're like, I like braided cables, but they actually braid the wires. So it like looks cool.
Yeah.
And it's the ones I had, it says once you actually, if you were to actually like have the cable, it's 9 gauge for each leg, the positive and negative on those things. Wow. I was like, oh damn. Okay. So when it's, I'm running 400 watts from that Parasound into some 4-ohm speakers, like, hey, all right.
That's kind of what I did with the car stereo. I had to wire up some amps, but I ran out of, the wire, thick wire. So yeah, I just got a bunch of the other ones, and then I just put three or four of them together and twisted it. You know, the trick, you put one side on the drill, right? You clamp it, and then you can, so twist it real nice, even. Now you have a twisted. So just in case you didn't know, it looks cool.
Jeremy's saying he had 10 gauge cables for LCR, switch them out for 12, didn't hear no audible difference. Didn't know you guys were starting early. Yeah, we try to mention it as much as possible. Joe has some things to see, and he's got to go see a man about a horse, apparently. So,
yeah. What else we got?
Let's see. Twisted Pairs have been around for over 100 years. Let me get this banner out of here. We don't need this banner.
Okay.
We don't need this banner. How do I get this? What is happening? Stop it. Okay, that one, and then banner. There we go. Okay. All right, let's go back to Starred. Hey, Chato, what are you going to drop that Yamaha video? Oh, God. Yeah, I know. I know. I need to get the new version of Magic Beans, A. B, the Yamaha's here. I just made space for... I'm being silly here. Hold on. I don't think it uploaded yet. Hold on. Let me get this. Okay. After let's wait for this to upload. Okay.
Okay. And I have some good news for you. Speaking of this Yamaha,
and what happened? What happened? Tell me.
We have an export for the graphic EQ specific to Yamaha. You know, because some of the Yamaha AVRs, after you run YPOW, they give you an adjustment for graphic EQ. So we just had to find out the specific parameters that correlate to their parameters, which are kind of weird. They have a weird setup there, but we do have an export for that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, if you end up doing it, just run YPOW, let it do timing and levels, and then type in the things from Magic Beans, and you're good to go. We also have one for the, I've noticed the Avantage, their processors. Avantage.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it?
Avantage. It sounds like I'm getting revenge.
Aventador.
Ooh. Can I get the new Yamaha SVJ, please?
Yes. So some of the other Yamaha ones have parametric. Am I saying that right? Let me think. Yeah, it has parametric EQ, and it's also very limited. And like, you can't just type in any frequency. They're fixed.
They're set. Yeah,
they're set. So we have an export for that also. And we're working on an export for Trinov. It works with their thing. And I was kind of Trinov. If anybody from Trinov or anybody with a Trinov, is interested in Magic Beans, please reach out to them and let them know that you want an easy way to import target curves, because a $1,500 Denon can import a target curve with multiple. You pay $20,000. You want to be able to do your own import, right? And we can do it. You know, I know they want to do it through the web interface. We can do it. We can definitely
do it in your face.
But until then, we still have a Trinov export. That's basically a graphic EQ. And I was on the phone with you, Chana. I thought it was hilarious. I'm like, wow, $20,000 or whatever this thing costs, right? Expensive processor. And they're doing graphic EQ, which is not the best way to do target curves. But I guess it's okay, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just a lot of manual, like, you know, you got to... That's how I do it on the Weem amp, $300 amp. Graphic EQ, I just type, you know, look at the settings and move the sliders up and down. I feel like it should be a little bit better for such an advanced product. But
yeah. So Mike Jerome. Okay, Mike Jerome. All right, I've got something exciting to share with everybody. Boom. You know what that is?
That's a guy.
There's some guys doing some stuff.
Squatting.
Yeah. Yes. They're installing carpet into the studio today. Okay. 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 All right. All right. Quiet down. Quiet down. Okay. So what does this mean? This means that the Denon 6700H is going into there, which means I need the Yamaha for here. So I'm making room for the Yamaha. You know what, Mike Jerome, I'm going to do that shit today. Since we're here early, I'm going to take out the Denon because I got to do a 6 height channel video in that studio space because I actually have space to do that. I have the Aventar A8, the top of the line, the creme de la creme.
Creme de la broken volume knob.
Yeah, I was about to find the damn broken volume knob. Where is it? It's here somewhere. I should not fix it, just mail it to Paul, have him 3D print me a new one or something.
There you go.
But yeah, so exciting news. This is going to be where I'll be shooting my YouTube videos from. I still like the background here. You know, it's still pretty vibey here. I had my interior designer, Mr. Jose, help me with this space. So, I mean, so the SVS speakers are being delivered to this new space because there's no, with the construction going on here, there's no space at all for me to unbox tower speakers. So,
yeah, I like the new shirt, by the way.
Which one? This one?
Or the
salmon one?
It's a good look.
Yeah.
I noticed. Anyway, hey,
thanks, man. Anyway, so I will get started by swapping out the Denon for the Yamaha today. So we're getting closer to that. I have to get a couple other videos out before I leave. This is 16 by 13, so this will be my Atmos mixing room, and it's going to be the place where I shoot my YouTube videos, and I'm in the adjacent office, just kind of looking in. There's a big window that we got to block off, and I can't wait. All my DJ streams are going to start from there because it's 300 megabit upload, which is for some of you.
Did you just do that?
Yeah,
that's what old ladies do when they
raising the roof, bro. Do you know how many weddings I've DJed and they all do that?
Yes. And who does that? Who does that noise?
So the girls.
The girls.
The old ladies. The grandmas are doing that. The grandmas are doing that. All right. So Mike Jerome, hopefully soon. Definitely, I'll have to do that after I get back from Exponent because there's just too many other things that I got to do. What happened?
Let's get to that real quick.
Okay. I wanted to mention that in the SACD disc, the top middle left plays a sweep versus a pink noise was calibrating Breen's. Just a heads up in case anyone is. Yeah, actually, what happened?
I was going to say, he's saying something negative. That's litigation right there. You got to talk to your lawyer now.
Litigation. You hear that? Litigation. Christian, email us and we'll send you out a new disc that has the corrected file. So, yeah, we found that out. That happened on the first batch of discs, the very, very first batch of discs. Mm-hmm. And considering not a lot of people have top middle, you know, in a 6 speaker configuration, I think it was the right, by the way, but I checked them all again. Something weird happened, and the file was correct. It was something weird happened in the authoring process. Shit happens. Email Tim at or whoever, spatialgroups cs@gmail.com. And
that's why we did that first initial run. And we did it at a discounted rate, right?
Yeah.
The initial run was discounted just because, like,
something can be wrong.
There can be a mistake. And that's kind of like, but we make it right.
Yeah. Oddly enough, I found out that something was wrong. And then, like, 2 days later, I get an email about it from a viewer. From a customer. I was like, whoa, what kind of crazy timing is this? I'm like, hey, I got something in the works. Here's a file for right now. I get sent him a file.
Yeah.
I think the digital ones worked. It was just some weird thing that happened on the disc. So,
oh, you know, blame the blame the person doing the menus, huh?
No, no, no. He had the right files. I think something just messes up. You know, it's technology. It works 60% of the time. It works all the time.
We'll make it right. You know,
yeah, we'll make it right.
That's it.
Yeah, some people in the Discord noticed that too. So, whoever needed him, I sent out some new discs, or I had Tim send out some new discs. So it's all good. It's all good. Let's see. Oh, he even says it right here. Email Spatial Group and you'll get taken care of.
That was done, baby.
Yeah. The speaker wire gauge has more to do with the length. Okay, we don't need to talk about that.
Can we talk about this?
Which one? Oh, yeah, baby. So
this is for the folks who are making Atmos mixes. It's not necessarily for anybody who has a home theater and just wants to consume content. Not for you. You won't even be able to use this, but Chana and I came out with this new product for Spatial Group. It's called Studio QC Pro, and QC stands for Quick Check. And what we noticed is that some of these studios, you know, we always say, oh, what is the studio layout like? You know, the assumption is that the studio was perfect. Kind of like, I think some people think that.
Uh-huh.
I know a lot of you guys don't believe that, but you assume at least, you know, that their stuff is set up properly, that the left channel is coming out of the left channel and the rear right height is coming out of the right. But sometimes it's not, right? So we made this thing. It's 5 minutes and it just checks everything. Is the sound coming out of the right speaker? Is the speaker blown? Is it rattling? Do you have something wrong with your system? Is the timing set up properly? You know, how's the imaging between speakers? All within 5 minutes. This is a ADM BWF, meaning you put it into the Dolby Atmos renderer.
Yes.
And it plays. And it's for anybody who's creating content to just check their system real quick. Right? Yeah. You're going to work on a crazy project. Throw this in. Make sure that it works.
Right. The guys, I mean, like, seriously, the guys that I'm talking to now and hanging out with are AAA level artists where it's like, you know, with the way that Apple's working, you know, Apple Music works, and the vast majority of people have no idea that they're already listening to spatial audio on Apple Music. So, yeah. And there's plenty of times when, you know, I was there over there last week at Ken Lewis's studio, and his engineer, John, excuse me, his assistant, engineer, whatever you want to call him. He's like, yeah, sometimes it's just one button's off or not off. Or off or on or whatever, and that screws up everything. And coincidentally, when I was making this file, right before I sent it to Joe, I'm like, dude, something's wrong. And guess what? Something was wrong with the renderer. Something was wrong with the renderer, and I had no idea about it until I tried to run 16 channels. Once I started running 16 channels, it like downgraded itself automatically to 13. I was like, or from 15 to 13. I was like, what is going on? I've been sending Joe like screenshots. I'm like, something's wrong. I don't know what it is. I ended up having to reset the Dolby Atmos renderer, and then it started working correctly. So it's as simple as that. It's a fantastic tool to actually help people that don't have time. This is a 5-minute file that they can just play.
So this is from our Instagram.
Yep.
Who's this?
Ah, Ken Lewis. Yep. Awesome tool for Atmos. He says, what, we use it here? Yeah. Ken was using it. We were in the live stream and you guys all thought that the sound was in mono, and we were trying to figure out, okay, is the binaural actually in mono or in stereo? So I had Ken play. I'm like, hey, play Studio QC Pro. We'll find out right away. And he's like, oh yeah, we will. And he played it. It went left, center, right, and then it was you, Croson, everybody was just like, yeah, it's in stereo. Yeah, it's working. It's working. And we didn't even run the file longer than the front right. Right. And we didn't even need to get to 916. Like, it all worked and we knew right away. So it's a great tool for those of you out there that are mixing Atmos, that you just need something quick. You're not in it like the home theater crowds, you know, 3 hours just to get the timing right for one. No, if you hear an anomaly coming from a certain part of the room, you need to go find out what that is. This is not going to calibrate your system. This is going to just quickly check to make sure your system is running at its peak performance. That's what Studio QC Pro is all about.
How do you get, what's the website that you set up for it?
StudioQCPro.com.
Okay. So if you make Atmos stuff, then that's where you go.
Yeah.
If you're just a consumer, then
you won't have a way to play that at all. If you're a consumer.
Hopefully more companies use this, so then we have better mixes, right?
Yeah. At the end of the day. I mean, I got to tell you, I played my mixes for Ken Lewis, who's, you know, he just won a Grammy, 115 gold and platinum plaques all littered all around his house for some of the biggest names in the music industry. And he's doing, he's got a 914. He's got two 914 setups. Studio A is phenomenal. I didn't even get to tell Aaron because I got to hear his favorite Dutch and Dutch, whatever, 8C or 8, whatever. Oh, right. Man, those things were it's like heaven. I felt like angels were singing to me. But there it is, Studio QC Pro. Speaking of that, Gary Johnson brings up a good question. Can we talk about the poor quality of the Atmos engineering stream was? Sure. I think I know, you know, and I was going to talk to them today about it, but they're doing a big old viewing party of the because they're in the totality of the eclipse. So they're doing a big old viewing party. Did you guys see my eclipse photo?
Mitsubishi eclipse?
No, the eclipse totality. You guys ready to see the best totality of the eclipse? Here it is. This is mine. Here it is.
You got the best shot.
Look at that. My totality eclipse looks like nobody else's on the planet.
Shot on iPhone, it says right there, right?
Shot on iPhone.
Wow.
Now, this is the big ups to, there's a Facebook called Obscure, and they do all this AI art, and I started following him. This guy makes some cool stuff, and I was just like, he put this out like 2 days ago. I'm like, is this what it should look like? If you're having a good time, you know, if you're having a blast this weekend, this is what
that's how they should start marketing speakers. Like, this is the dispersion of the speaker. It looks like
that. Yeah, like some AI drawings and stuff like that. Yeah,
I want it.
So I was gonna hit him up today, but they're doing a viewing party. Basically, I think what the problem was that 20 minutes before the show, we tested everything the day before and the day of, and 20 minutes before the show, something was not working. So there was like a scramble. And he has two assistants, and they're those guys have a lot to deal with as far as like microphones, volumes, you know, and we weren't wearing any headphones in the room. So then there was like, you know, we had to deal with all the bleed from one microphone to another microphone and all this kind of stuff. So things in a live broadcast kind of don't go the way you want it to. However, the 7.1.4 audio mover stream from Atmos Studio to Atmos Studio was working perfectly. Mm-hmm. So if you guys don't know what that is, there's a software called Listen To by Audio Movers. Here, I'll put it up on screen.
I think the problem is, Gary Johnson, is that when you try to do something advanced, right? So who's streaming in Atmos right now? Live in Atmos?
Nobody.
Not
well,
right?
Ken Lewis is.
Yeah. And then to try to do it so that it works that way and binaural. Okay. So that's another step.
Yeah.
And then they try to do something with those, what is that mic? Ambio mic.
Yeah, the Ambio mic. That was pretty cool.
My thing, I always try to do, I try to do something simple, right? It's important to make things work, right? So a lot of times you'll try to do something super advanced, but if it doesn't work, it's almost like it just done the simple thing. I would have just enjoyed hearing you guys talk. You know,
yeah,
and like, the volume was too low and it was pissing me off. Like,
yeah,
like, bro, I kept messaging you, come turn the volume up. Like,
that's, yeah, every time I said it was because Joe kept hounding me, or like, and they're like, yeah, 10 dB, okay, you know. And so, and when you know, Rock AM, in our emails, he's like, you know, Techno Dad, aka Chana, aka Techno Dad, has a very engaged audience. And you guys were the ones that were like, yo, bump this up like 10 dB, you know? And so they were like, oh, okay. They know exactly what they what's needed, you know?
Yeah, it didn't turn
consumers,
it up.
Consumers, right? Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, I definitely am going to talk with them to see if they can do like just a little bit more testing to see like what you guys are hearing on the other end when they if they do the binaural thing again.
You know, what might be better is to start an hour early with just like a small group of people.
Huh.
Right? Have it live. And so you're already testing. Everything's like up and running.
As you're going, kind of. And then have the shows. Public. Oh, I see. Do unlisted.
Yeah.
And then make it public. Yeah. Maybe.
That's what I'm doing with the Magic Beans, right? So we have a public beta.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, you know, I think we emailed 1,000 people, and that's enough where we can manage any of the issues and on that level. So now on the 19th, when we release it to the early access folks at a discounted rate, now it's going to, we've fixed a lot of the small issues that we found. So their experience is going to be even better, right? And then after that, you know, hopefully we just keep getting better and better. The tricky thing about an app, though, is there's always a tendency, especially with me, to want to add more features.
Mm.
Like, ooh, this would be cool.
Dude, I know. I have, you know, I've seen your feature list. You're like, I'm going to implement these later. I'm like,
geez. Yeah, I want to add this. I want to add that. But every time you add something new, it's an opportunity to break stuff that already works. That's the tricky part, right? Like, I want to be able to show directivity within the app. That would be cool. Like for pro users to be able to go like, oh, cool. I have an idea of each speaker and be able to swipe through the measurements for each speaker. So they don't even have to export to REW. Just look at it right on your phone, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
But then there's a possibility I might break something.
Yep. Yeah. So this was the software that they were using, Audio Movers Listen To. And you can actually, basically what you do is, this is for collaborating. So if Joe and I were in different studios and I was like, hey, so what happens now is Joe's like, hey, try to do this. And so I'll do it in my studio and then bounce out the Atmos master file, upload it. Sometimes they're like 2, 3, 4 gigs each. Upload it to Joe. Now we got to wait for the upload. And then now I got to wait for Joe's slow ass internet connection to download. He's like, 10 more minutes. I'm like, great. You know, and we're on the phone, you know, talking, and then he'll get it and he'll be like, okay, yeah, that doesn't work. Let's go back to the other way. So we're just wasting all this time. So now with Audio Movers, I can just send him a URL and he can log in and he can receive, I can send out a 7.1.4 from my computer and then he can receive it in his studio. And if he has a speaker array, he can hear everything exactly like I'm hearing it in my studio.
Yeah, right. A big part of working remotely or even just communication in general is lack of latency. Right?
Yes.
So if there's
yes.
a delay between what you're hearing and experiencing and you got to upload it. And now it's like 10 minutes just waiting for me to be able to listen to it.
Yeah.
Versus if I'm listening to it live, I'll be like, no, change that thing. It makes you not want to make any changes, right? So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Then I got to do the upload thing again. How many times did we do that on one night? Like just you upload.
Oh my gosh.
Too many times, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, are you in your studio? I'm like, no, I'm at home. Because if I was in the studio, I got 10 times the upload speed than I do here. But it was like 11 p.m. I'm like, oh man, I'm at home.
It doesn't make sense though, because we have to transfer files back and forth just so I can hear it versus if I can just hear it on my studio set up as you're doing it. That's awesome.
So this software is pretty legit, and this was working the whole time. This was working the whole time, even though the binaural wasn't working for you guys. This was working the whole time. So yeah. Sorry about that. You know, sometimes they're just things like Joe said. We're doing. You're trying to. I guess we were just a little too ambitious. But
well,
at least
it's out of my hands. When I message you, like it's out of my hands. I'm not.
Well,
I'm
I mean, I tried to help as much as possible. I can't. I know. I can't really do a whole lot, but. Hey, it was the first time ever something like that was done on YouTube. So, you know, that was 1.0. Just wait till like 2.0 or 3.0. I'm sure we'll get things dialed in And they have a lot more ideas too. So yeah, there it is. All right, let's go to the next one. Let's see what we got. Marv says there wasn't much review on the Klipsch RP subs. Bought one anyway for my curiosity. Was pleasantly surprised at the performance. Which one did you get, Marv? Because I would have liked to have that 15-inch one, but the size of that thing, I saw it in person. Like, hell no. Hell no. I do not want a subwoofer that big because I know there's going to be a box that it comes in that makes it much bigger and much heavier. And now I am not flipping it end over end over these stairs. Like, it's just not happening. Not happening. Maybe in the new space. He said he got the 1400. Which one is that? So that's the 12-inch RP 1400 SW. Is that what that says? Let's see. Oh, no, it's 14-inch. My bad. Okay, I guess that makes sense. 14-inch. Sweetwater's selling it. Sweetwater's selling it. What the heck? Okay. Reference RP. What is this? Oh. Anyway, you haven't heard these, have you, Joe?
No. Okay. I've seen them, though. They have a huge enclosure, and I expect them to perform. There's nothing mysterious about subwoofers, right?
No.
Got to either throw a bunch of power and have a driver that can handle all that power, or a large enclosure. And if you have both, you know, powerful amp, powerful, capable subwoofer, large enclosure, all that, probably gonna have some deep bass.
Probably.
So.
Okay. Very good. $1,400 for that 14-inch. Just so you guys know. Okay. What do we got here? Technodad, why do so few Atmos sound mixes utilize overhead speakers? The Dune 2 sound mix was amazing. 100%. I still haven't. Dude, Joe, aren't we having our movie date night? Aren't we going to?
No, man. Forget that. We're just going to. It's going to come out soon, right?
Really? You don't want to go watch it in IMAX or anything?
According to everybody who's commenting on our previous video about the theaters going down to 20 hertz, at least I know my system can go below 20 hertz. They're saying that it can't. Cinema. They can't go down to 20 hertz according to them. Yep. So why not? I want 20 hertz.
I want 20 hertz.
So
all right.
I don't know if I still believe that. I don't know if I believe that. I would like to go and measure. And maybe it's true that a theater, like, you know, actual, you know, theater, not a home theater, maybe it doesn't go down to 20 hertz flat. Like, if you measure, it's not like perfect. But I would find it hard to believe that it cannot produce any 20 hertz frequencies. Maybe it's a slow roll off. Maybe that's what it is, right?
Maybe
it starts to roll off maybe 30 hertz and then it rolls off slowly. So
maybe still, 12 dB per octave instead of 24 or something, or 48.
Slow roll off. And so maybe it's like that, because maybe in such a large space to hear anything even remotely close to 20 hertz just sounds like, oh, that sounds crazy that they're even able to pressurize a room
that's a big space.
And maybe psychologically I'm just like amazed that they're able to do that. Maybe it's not able to go down to 20 hertz, but in that video I think I said, like, I need to find out. I don't know.
We should do theater tours.
There's a theory, and then there's like, I could just go and measure the system, and we'll find out, you know.
Our theater has a blown sub. I would think with what they charge for popcorn, they can buy a new one. Oh, that sucks.
Oh, man.
I hate that. All right. So, Byron, to answer your question, man, like, if we're talking about movies, look, if we're talking about Atmos in general, music and movies, you know what I learned when I talked to these Atmos mixers that are, like, very well established? And even some of the people at Dolby and stuff, like, they're, I think out of necessity, the home theater enthusiast, somebody with a speaker array, are not involved in the equation, right? It's almost like we're alienated because they're mixing and creating for the vast majority of people. And anyone with a home theater or speaker array is a very, very, very small market group. And so I feel like like the stream last week was eye opening for them as much as it was for us, right? To where, you know, I was there to give the you know, consumer experience. And when I talk about, you know, I want to talk about, you know, Oro 3D, DTS:X, IMAX Enhanced, they're, you know, they're like, wait, what? What is it? Yeah, there's more. There's more. We're just talking about Atmos, but there's more. Oro 3D came before all of them. And like, you know, they were surprised at how much we know, right? Like they were surprised about how much we know about audio and this, that, and the other. And, you know, what are, you know, it's just the way that Dolby's marketing department says, yeah, you can get a 5.1.2. It's going to be fine. It's going to matrix properly. And we all know that's not the case. And it's just,
who do you think takes more time calibrating their systems?
I think the studio
or some of these crazy folks, some of you guys out there that are spending hours and recalibrating all the time and always testing.
I moved my center channel up forward half an inch. I got to recalibrate everything.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I've seen some of you guys in the Discord for Magic Beans, and I'm sure you've measured 10 times, remeasured. Yeah. You know, I don't know about these guys who are calibrating studios, but I kind of assume that they have a kind of a process, and they go through it and then double check, and that's it.
And then, I mean, dude, these guys are busy, man. Ken and Rock, they are busy. They'll get emails of like, hey, this album needs to be done in the next 3 days. And they're just doing all-nighters to get it done.
Why do you think we made the studio QC Pro? Why do you think we made it 5 minutes? Because they're so busy, they just want to get to work, right?
Mm-hmm. They want to get to work.
You know, guys like you guys, a lot of times we like to mess with the system. It's fun to like go and calibrate, see if we can make it sound better. That's part of the fun. Mm-hmm. So just remember that.
Yeah.
You may be calibrating more than the studio. So don't just assume all of a sudden that they have some kind of magic formula. Their system is more tuned. They might have more sound treatment, maybe, but a lot of you guys have good sound treatment all around also. So
yeah, and they'll have what's called an acoustician come by to dial everything in, right? But once they're gone, that's it. And if they need to make changes in their speakers, or they got to call that guy again to come over, right? And I'm sure that's not a cheap cost as well. Mm-hmm. And you know, even in the stream, Ken was saying that calibration is the most important part of the studio, and they did a lot to get that place dialed in. So, he said to me, he's like, yeah, I think I might make some speaker changes. And I was like, oh, I wish I had an extra day.
Yeah.
You could have made the changes and I could have, calibrated with Magic Beans on the spot, since I was already there, but it wasn't in the cards. You know, who knows?
There's nothing magical about a studio setup, right? They have active speakers. Some don't even measure very well. Like some of those, you can put them on the clip and see how they measure.
Yeah.
They're no better than a lot of the passive speakers, some of them. You know, the only difference is they typically have some DSP built in, but that's the point of Magic Beans is we're going to DSP those speakers. So your speakers are more like these studio monitors.
Right. But
there's nothing inherently special about them that you can't get that type of experience.
No, at the end of the day, it's physics is physics, right? You have a room with speakers in it, a consumer home theater. You got a music studio with speakers in it, a speaker array. It's just a room with speakers, powered speakers. I mean, they're all essentially powered, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same. It's the same. You know, we have we have this curve that's forced upon us. The Harman target curve for these AVRs, they have not a forced. Curve.
I don't want to know.
Okay. Okay. There's a curve. How about this? There's an arbitrary curve that all our home theater AVRs use or are tuned to. And in the studio space, there is an arbitrary curve as well that, you know, for them to get certification, they have to tune to that curve. So it's almost the same thing. I believe they're identical, you know. So I went into a thing on the show, on their show, that if we calibrate the studio in the same way we calibrate the home theater, we will now start to tighten up that circle of confusion and get a similar experience from the studio that translates well to the home theater, right? And if you guys saw my other video, which I've been trying to make for the last like 2 years, right? There's no, see this white speaker here? There's no Dolby Atmos metadata in that speaker. If there's a white speaker over here on the right, and now those two speakers are left and right, there's no Dolby Atmos metadata there. It's all in the computer. The Dolby Atmos metadata is in the computer. It doesn't matter your speaker. It doesn't matter your speaker layout. So, you know, that's that. Like, that's the whole thing. So now we need to even out the speaker arrays by calibrating them the same way. Once we get those two calibrated and put the speakers in the right spot in both environments, like, that's it. That's how we're going to get the best inherent Dolby Atmos experience.
Yeah.
Once those things start to happen. So I'm stoked to have been on the podcast. Shout out to Ken Lewis. Shout out to Rock AM. Shout out to John Nolan. Shout out to Mark Abrams and the folks at Audio Movers. Matt, I don't know your last name, Matt. Sorry. Or no, I do know it. I just can't pronounce it. It was a great show. And I learned a lot. They learned a lot. And I think what it really comes down to is having that circle of confusion tightened up so that we can get an experience that works on everything like amazingly. So there it is.
And the question initially was about Dune 2. Didn't you speak with Alan Meyerson? What did he have to do with it?
Alan Meyerson, you know, it's funny. It was great to, so he does the immersive mix for the soundtrack. And so, you know, everything he gets from Hans Zimmer, and he works closely with Hans. And, you know, he'll mix for immersion. You know how like everybody in the home theater space, they're like, oh, you got to have the separation. And I asked him about that. And he's like, no, immersion, no separation, immersion. We don't want things to be obviously coming from above you. Right. It needs to be like this. I'm like, so you want like a cohesion from the like base layer to the top layer? He said, yes, immersion. And he went on into, he's like, so I group, I use the renderer. I kind of group instruments in certain parts of the renderer so that I can give the listener, you know, something more immersive than they can imagine. So that's
That's cool. That's interesting. Instead of being able to pinpoint, oh, that's there.
You know, he doesn't want you to know where all the instruments are coming from.
It's just all around you.
It's you're in the middle of everything.
So just full mono on every speaker, right?
Yes, Dolby Mono. Yeah, so that's what he says. Yeah, so it all depends. To go back, was it Byron? To go back, it depends on a lot of things. If the studio is not going to spend the money and time, money to pay somebody, if the mixer doesn't have the time, I can only imagine doing, it took me 2 days to do a 3-minute track now that I'm here and I don't have a lot of other nonsense to deal with. But to do a 2-hour movie, 1 month, maybe. What do you think, Joe? 2-hour movie? What's a good amount of time to do a like solid Atmos mix?
Oh, shoot.
For a movie.
Movie. I'm kind of slow at that right now. It depends on how much experience you have, because a lot of times the hardware mixers, like these big consoles that you see, allow you to do more stuff like
faster,
right? Like if you have to move your mouse just to do something simple where you can just move slider. Because a lot of it's just about balance.
Yeah.
Not even about object movement. It's just about balancing things.
Mm-hmm.
Have everything laid out. I don't have that set up. So it would take me a long time. But I think if we had everything set up, I don't know. We'll have to see. I don't know.
I did meet some interesting people this weekend on Saturday. One of them is working on a independent film. So I told him, I was like, hey, if you need an Atmos mix for it, hit us up.
Here's a question from Music Jewel. He says, question, is Magic Beans useful for 2-channel setups or mainly for Atmos and surround? 2-channel also. And I really urge anybody with a 2-channel setup to try it out. Just because, like I said before, a lot of times two channel guys are more critical of the tonality and the sound because you don't have to worry about all these other speakers. You're concerned with getting the best possible sound out of these two speakers. So, you know, a lot of times the two channel guys are more critical of room correction because they're like, I don't like the way it made it sound. Right? I like it without it better. So to me, if somebody says, hey, I used this in a two channel setup and it really improved the sound, that's a big compliment. Right? Because I know that you're going to be extremely critical of the sound. And I think that that's what I expect to hear. I think people will say it does make my two channel setup sound better. So yeah, definitely. Why RK says, why does China have all this boom mic and headphones while Joe has perfect audio and no phones? What?
And no phones. What is it?
Headphones.
Probably. Oh, headphones. Oh.
Well, I am using $1,000 microphone here in the Sennheiser
His mic is more expensive than mine.
Yeah. But I do have that one also. I think that one sounds better, but I have to get it too close to the point where I do have to have it in the...
Yeah, like it would be better if it's like this.
Yes. Sounds now.
But now it just looks very phallic.
Now China sounds better.
Now China sounds better. You know, they used to make fun of me in a grade school by calling me China.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that why you kind of got like you reverted back when I?
No.
You saw China.
But I have the arm here because I have no desk space. I'm on the smallest desk here that's ever been made.
All right.
Yeah.
So yeah. And also I'm listening to you guys to China out of my speakers. And yeah. This software has a way to kind of like make sure that I'm not getting feedback.
If I had my speakers on and my headphones, you'd be hearing Joe through this delayed. So yeah. It wouldn't. That's why I'm wearing the headphones.
Yeah.
And I'm using these bigger ones because I want something comfortable instead of like IEMs or something like that.
Yeah.
And especially because I have my left ear has a smaller ear canal than my right. So like the IEMs don't really work that well unless I get a custom foam insert. It's a lot of information for you there.
Here's a follow-up question. How does it work with two channel if you don't have room correction capability? So if your preamp or whatever you're using doesn't have any DSP capabilities, then there's no way. But if there's if you use Rune, right? A lot of people like to use Rune, and Rune has a built-in DSP where you can use either PEQ. Or I think it has a convolution filter that you can use. We can support that as well. So that would be another way. But preferably, you'd have it on the hardware so everything is processed through there, not just stuff that's streamed via Rune. So, yeah, you have to have some kind of, graphic EQ, parametric EQ, something. Yeah.
Hmm. Let's see.
Should probably start wrapping it up pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
So we can talk in the after show for a little bit.
That's right, because you got to go, because it's soccer time with the soccer pros.
Yeah, if you want to join the after show, crew.dailyhifi.com, and you can hang out, talk. We have a group messenger chat where we just talk about all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm. I mean, couldn't you use, who are you? I do not know who you are.
Also, if you want to listen to the audio-only version, anchor.fm/dailyhifi. What were you going to say?
If you were to like even just do the timing test for your spatial toolkit, couldn't you just move the speakers? Even if you didn't have like delays, like there are physical ways to calibrate, right? Like if you're trying to time align a subwoofer to your two speakers and your integrator amp doesn't have like a delay, you can use our toolkit for that.
So I would say,
or not, I don't know. Oh, you'd have to have an HDMI input, wouldn't you?
If you have a two-channel setup, I think you'd benefit more from getting the spatial toolkit just because a lot of it is meant to be stuff that you could do by ear without a microphone, right? So like you're saying, timing. So if your timing is a little bit off, you can start moving the speaker. Right? If you're playing Pink Noise and you notice like, hey, this speaker sounds a little different, then it might be a matter of toe-in. Or if you find like you're doing the sweep and you're not hearing bass out of this one speaker, maybe it means that you either need to move your listening position or you need to move the speaker. And
you might be sitting in a null.
Yeah, so toolkit, spatial audio calibration toolkit would be useful for just double-checking stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just trust your ears. Like if you do the crossover test tones where it's just playing the sub, like different frequencies, you could just walk around the room to different locations and see where all those sounds sound the best. You know, yeah, if you're sitting in one spot and one frequency is missing, probably a null.
There's a null there, yeah. You could even take just a dB meter app from the phone and just walk around and you're like, if you aren't hearing something, take that dB meter and just be like, oh, you know, at 120 hertz, there's a huge dip. It's normally staying at this volume level, whatever. You know, it could be not, it's not as scientific, right? But at the end of the day, you can find out a whole lot about your two-channel system with the toolkit.
Actually, that's a good point. You could play the LFE channel, the Pink Noise. So it's just playing all the frequencies at the same level. Right. And if you take just a dB meter app on an iPhone, something like that, just because their mics are pretty good on those and they're all kind of the same.
Yep.
Android ones are kind of all over the place. You don't know what you're
you know where you're getting.
So on an iPhone, you get one of those real time analyzers where it shows you the response. Play the Pink Noise out of LFE. And all if you just walk around your room, you'll see that shape will change. There might be a null in different locations. That's simple. You're playing Pink Noise to the LFE, put it on a repeat, put it on loop, and just walk around with your phone. Probably a free app, and then see where the response is the smoothest. That's simple, right?
Yep.
What else? I think that's it.
Yep.
That's it. I'm going to jump into the after show and chat with these guys.
I'm going to jump into the after show and start taking apart this Denon here, because I promised somebody I'd get this Yamaha, and who was it? Was it? Was at the beginning? I forget. Oh well, whatever.
Have you heard of the R3 Meta? Have you, Chana?
No. I had the R300 a while back, which was the predecessor to the R3, and then there was the R3, and then the R3 Meta. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's a good point, Bodhi. He says there are a few two-channel components that have DSP, like Anthem integrated amp and preamp, and the mini DSP Flex and SHD. That's a good point. You can also add something like the DSP Flex or SHD to be able to do some of this stuff. And they're, you know, the SHD is more aimed towards audiophile, where they have digital connection, so you're not converting back and forth to analog. So anyway, I think we're good for right now.
Yep.
You want to take us out?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, get closer. Let's get Let's get close. All right. Thank you so much for hanging out here at the Daily Hi-Fi Podcast. My name is DJ Chana. With me is Mr. Joe and Tell, and Eric, Aaron is with us in spirit. Oh, I'm making all kinds of mistakes. At least it wasn't that bad. Stay tuned. Oh, next Monday, I don't think I'll be here. I'm still in Schaumburg Monday, so I'll probably be flying. Litigation coming. Marv, that's like the fifth time you've said that.
I know, he's all about that.
Litigation incoming. That's what it should be, right?
I don't worry about any of that.
Yeah. So thank you guys for hanging out. We'll probably be back Monday, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern next week. 4 p.m. is better, Reverend. Not for the people on the East Coast and the people across the pond. They seem to like this earlier time. So I don't know. Thank you guys all for hanging out. And on behalf of myself, Joe, and everyone here at the Daily Hi-Fi Crew, have a good one. We'll see you next time.